And all God's people said, Amen. We're going to be reading from the book of Isaiah this morning, beginning at verse 27 in chapter 40. O Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? And in verse 28, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We have a whole pile of prayer requests right here. We got a list this long in your bulletin. And this verse here applies to every one of them. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I am so thankful that you see every person that is here. God, you know every need that is present. I thank you, God, that you do see our troubles. You do see our sorrows. You do see our sickness. You see our heartache. And Father God, I pray that you might touch each one that's on our prayer list. I pray, God, that you'd touch each name that's on our connection cards. I pray, God, that you would touch each person that is here and each household and each family that they represent. Help us, God, to see today that if we will wait on you, God, that you will renew our strength. And we will soar, and we will run, and we will walk, and not be weary. Speak to us, God, through your word. We'll make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In the month of August, we've been looking at the top four verses in the Bible app called YouVersion. Over 380 million people have downloaded this application. And last year, they liked, shared, tweeted 70 million scriptures. And we're looking at the top four. And we were counting them down, 4, 3, 2, 1. But the music department asked that we switch 2 and 1 around because of the music that they were going to sing today. And how appropriate the music has tied in to our scripture passage about God renewing our strength in times of trouble and sorrow. Well, the first week we looked at Joshua, where our need to succeed, how can I be successful? Week 3, we looked at temptation, lead me not into temptation. Last week we looked at number 1, verse shared, and that is, I have learned to be content, fully satisfied with Jesus. And today we're going to be looking at the number 2 shared Bible verse, what happens when I wait on God? Now, I found it an amazing fact that when George W. Bush was sworn in as the President of the United States for the second time, for his second term in 2005, he had already gone through 9/11, gone through the Great Recession, and when he went to be sworn in and he put his hand on the Bible, he had the Bible open to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 31. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. If it's good enough for the President of the United States in one of the worst crises in America, it's good enough for you and I to use every single day. And so let's look at this particular set of scriptures. I want to start off by looking at the problem of reduced strength. In verse 29 and 30, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. Can I get a witness to that? If any of you ever had a contract with your brain that your body couldn't keep, I mean, your brain said you could do it, and your body said, nope, not today. There was a time that every year I would go to youth camp with the youth. And on one particular occasion, we were down at the beach. And two of the teenage high school boys came up holding a kitchen trash can bag of water. I guess it holds about 20 gallons. One of them was the quarterback of the football team, and the other one was the starting guard for the basketball team. And they looked at me and said, "Preacher, what would you do if we poured this whole trash can of water on you?" It's 9 o'clock at night. And I looked at him and I said, "I'd jerk my belt off and give you a whooping. That's what I'd do." But they looked at each other and smiled and dumped that whole trash can of water on me. Well, as fast as an old man could, I reached over and jerked my belt off. They took off running, and after them, I went. When they got around the other side of the building, they stopped running, and I kept running. I caught up from them from behind. Whoop, whoop. And they said, "Whoa, where did that come from?" You see, even a young man will get tired. A young man will get weary. And so we see here the problem of reduced strength. I want to point out a couple of areas where you and I can lose strength in our life. Number one, the demands of service can reduce your strength. In Mark chapter 5, verse 30, at the same time, Jesus felt energy discharging from him. He turned around to the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" Notice here, as Jesus is doing ministry, he could feel the strength of God come into his life and go out of his life. If you're involved in ministry, you already know this, but serving God will drain you physically, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. Jesus, the Son of God, felt the power and the strength leave his body and go out. Sometimes after you're finished serving God, you're just completely washed out. One fellow asked his pastor, he said, "Preacher, do you take Mondays off?" He said, "Oh, no." He said, "Well, I thought Sunday was your hardest day." He said, "As it is." He said, "Why don't you take Monday off?" He said, "I don't want to feel that bad on my day off." Well, serving God will drain you of your strength. There are folks here today, and you are mentally, physically, and spiritually tired because you've been serving God. And you see, once we get drained out, we got to come back and have that strength renewed if we're going to continue to serve God. And then secondly, the dissipations of sin will drain you of strength. In Judges 16:19, Delilah lulled Samson to sleep with his head in her lap, and then she called in a man to shave off the 7 locks of his hair. And this way she began to bring him down, and his strength left him. Notice here that Samson was lulled in the sleep. He was lulled in the sin. And as he disobeyed God, God told him, "When you cut your hair, you will lose your strength." He had been toying and playing with Delilah all of this time, and then finally she convinced him to tell his secret. You see, a lot of folks think Samson was this great big buff of a man. Listen, if he was 7 feet tall and he could bench press 1,000 pounds, nobody would have said, "How's this man so strong? You just look at his muscles. He's been to the gym and worked out." But I believe Samson was just a regular old dude, okay? And they said, "How is he so strong?" Well, it was God being strong in him. And when he cut his hair, it wasn't he lost all of his muscles. He lost his strength that came from God. And what caused that? Disobedience. Sin zapped him of spiritual strength. The truth of the matter is that some of you have allowed Satan, you've allowed sin to log you in, and you're unaware that the power and the Spirit of God has left your life. When the Philistines came in, he jumped up as he did before, but he had lost the strength because of sin. And then number three, the devices of Satan will reduce your strength. In Deuteronomy 25, verse 17, remember what the Amalekites did to you as you were coming from Egypt? They had no fear of God, and so they attacked you from the rear when you were tired and exhausted and killed all those who were straggling behind. The Amalekites were ruled by Amalek, who was a pagan Canaanite ruler. And his strategy was, is he would catch those that were old, those that were young, those that were weak, those that were lagging behind. He'd sneak up from behind and would attack them and destroy them. Did you know Satan does the same thing today? He comes and attacks you when you're not prepared for it. The devil does not fight fair, but he fights to win. Talk about not fighting fair. I remember a boxing match that took place in Las Vegas in 1997. It was a rematch between Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield. Holyfield was the underdog by a great big margin, even though he was the reigning champ. But Holyfield got in there and started beating the brains out of Mike Tyson. And about the third round, Mike Tyson reached up there and bit a chunk out of his ear and spit out part of his ear on the mat. Tyson ended up losing, even though he didn't fight fair. And folks, Satan, even though he doesn't fight fair, he will end up losing in the end to Jesus Christ. But he will come against you, and he will do everything he can to reduce the strength of God in your life. He'll use all kinds of devices. And then number four, the disability of sickness will drain you of strength. The psalmist penned in Psalm 6:3, I am sick at heart. How long, O Lord, until you restore me? Sometimes we have sickness. It might be emotional sickness, spiritual sickness, physical sickness, but it just drains us. Recently, my doctor put me on some new medication, and I'm not liking it, or it's not liking me, might be a better word. And the other day, my wife said, well, if you don't look so good, how do you feel? And I said, I don't feel so good either. She said, what do you feel like doing? I said, I don't feel like doing anything. Well, what happens is sometimes we just lose strength because we've been attacked physically, spiritually, and mentally, and we have sickness in our life. And then number five, the devastation of sorrow can reduce our strength. Psalm 13:2. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? If you live long enough, you're going to have sorrow in your heart. If you live long enough, somebody you love and care about deeply is going to die. And when they pass on, it leaves a great big hole in your life. Sometimes people have a difficult time getting past that grief. I had one of our church members to share with me. He said, you know, Pastor, I struggled for 14 years. My mother passed away. I didn't deal with that very well. And I allowed things to build up. And it just stole my joy. It just stole the power in my life. Sometimes sorrow can come along and just zap you of your strength. In Psalm 116, verse 3, it says, the cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me, and I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. In a group this size, there's somebody here today with a broken heart. There's somebody here today that has problems. There's somebody here today that just feels overwhelmed by the circumstances of life. I had a church member called me at 9:30 last night, just a boo-hooing and crying, and said, "Pastor, I'm just overcome with sorrow over my adult children." And I thought, how many times I heard when my kids were small. When they're small, they'll walk on your feet. When they're older, they'll walk on your hearts. And so I was able to talk and to pray with this person. But they were just zapped of all of their strength because of sorrow that they had in their heart. And so the prophet mentions here the problem of reduced strength. But notice next he mentions the path of renewed strength. Verse 31. "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I'll just circle that word renew. In Hebrew, it literally means to exchange. He will exchange their strength. You ever get a gift at Christmas time, you have to take it back and exchange it? What does that mean? That means I'm going to take what I have, I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to take something else. The Bible says that God will exchange our strength. God will take our weakness and exchange it with His strength. God will take His strength and exchange it with our weaknesses. Think about that. Somebody said to me, "Well, preacher, God doesn't have any weaknesses." That's the whole point. We exchange what He has with what we have. We take our weaknesses, we give it to Him, and God gives us His strength. Do you need God's strength today for some area of your life? How do you get it? What does it look like when I wait on God? Does that mean I'm just going to sit down and twiddle my thumbs? No. Well, let's see what it means. Number one, it means to long for Him. To wait means to long for Him. In Psalm 62:1, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from whom cometh my salvation." The psalmist is waiting on God, but he's looking and longing for God. In Psalm 42:1, it says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you." You want to have the strength of God? You've got to have a passion for God. You have to have a longing for God. It's not I sit down and do nothing. James Merritt, who was the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, a pastor down in Georgia, he talks about when he met his wife. He said, God just told him right up front, this is who you're going to marry. And so they went out on their first date. After their first date, he says, I'm going to ask this gal to marry me. So on their second date, he's just pacing around. He can't wait. And he finally just couldn't stand anymore. He just pops the question. And he says to her, he said, "Teresa, will you marry me?" She says, "What? Wait, whoa, whoa. This is just our second date. I'm going to have to think about this." And so James Merritt says that he looked at her and he says, "Take all the time you want. God's already told me you're going to be the one that I marry." And says, "I won't call you. I won't visit you. I won't come see you. I won't bother you. I'll leave you alone as long as it takes, because God's going to tell you that you're to marry me." Well, she walked over there, he says, and got toe-to-toe and nose-to-nose and said to him, "Oh, you'll be back." He said, you know what, she was probably right. But after she said that, there was no way I was going to call her right or come by. And he said, well, I'm going to wait. And when God tells you, then you contact me. He said a couple days went by and he thought, she's not going to call. The first week went by, he said, it's not looking good. 2 weeks go by, and he goes out to the mailbox, and there's a letter. And he said, oh, my, it's a Dear James letter. He said, and I tore it open, and I opened it up, and it, she says in there, "Please call me. I terribly miss you." And you know what he did? He immediately called. But during that time, what was he doing while he was waiting? He was waiting, but he was longing for an answer. He was longing for a reply. And when we're waiting on God, we long for God. And then secondly, to wait means to listen to Him. In Proverbs 8:34, it says, "Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors." So while you're waiting on God, what are you doing? You're listening. Speak, God. Your servant listens. Speak, God. I'm listening to you. One man told me that his wife would go into this big, long spill about her problems. And he said, you know, she'd start talking, and he said, I just sat there, and he says, just spit it out. Tell me what it is so I can fix it. And she says, listen, I don't want you to fix it. I just want you to wait, and I want you to listen. In other words, she wanted to tell her story and wanted somebody to listen. God is waiting on us to listen. God is speaking. Are we listening? Or is our mind racing to what we're going to do or say next to God? Number three, to wait means I look to Him. Psalms 121, verse 1, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Are you looking unto God? Is God your strength? Is God your help? Do you believe God really is concerned about the normal everyday things in your life? I believe He is. I'll tell you something that happened a couple months ago. One of our young people was just putting smack talk on me every time they saw me. They said, now, preacher, says, I'm going to play you some basketball out here in the gym, and says, and I'm going to shoot your eyes out. I mean, they just talking smack every week. All right, so after a while, I started talking a little smack back. Well, one evening we were here, and they were having choir practice, so I didn't have anything to do. And they said, well, you ready to play? Would you bring you some extra change of clothes? And I said, listen, I don't need an extra change of clothes. I'll just take my coat off. But out there in my suit, my dress shoes, I played them a game of basketball. And I whooped them. But I kind of thought I would anyway. But what I wasn't expecting, if one of the teenagers who's a really, really good athlete had been watching. And then they come out there and said, oh, preacher, says, come on, I'm ready for you. They come on, take my... Now, here I'm done dead dog tired. You know, I done give out all I got. And here comes a baller. I mean, you know, they're a ball player. And it's like, come on, well, what am I going to do? I say, well, I guess, okay, we'll go for it. And next thing I know, they done jumped on me, and the score's about 7-3, and I am losing bad. I'm looking bad. And I just had to pray a little prayer. I said, Lord, I need a little help here. I need a little help here. Now, maybe you think God don't really care about the little things in your life, but what in your life is big to God? Nothing. Everything's little to Him. And so I'm over there, and I'm struggling, okay? And I said, God, I need a little help. We missed a shot. I got the ball, and I just threw it up. Well, I threw it up, and God put it in the hole. We was playing make it, take it. That meant I got it back. I got it back. I took one dribble. I threw it up, and it went in again. And I did that time after time till I caught up with him. I passed him, and I whooped him. But I can't take any credit for it. Okay? He was a much better ball player than I was. I was absolutely exhausted. But, you know, in my heart and in my under my breath, I said, Lord, help me here. Well, God, help me. God can help you at work. God can help you at home. God can help you wherever you're at. What you might be thinking is this big, big problem. It's just a little thing to God. And so what do? You look unto Him from whom my help comes from. And then number four, to wait means to live for Him. Proverbs 27:18, whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit. So who waits on his master will be honored. Recently, I was in a home improvement store, and I was looking at ceiling fans, and I saw one up here, and I'm trying to find it down here. Okay, you see the one up there, oh, that's the one I want, and then you go over there, and you can't find it in the aisle, and I'm looking around, and one of the associates comes around, and he says, sir, is anybody waiting on you? Now, when they said, is anybody waiting on you, does that mean somebody's over there in the chair waiting on me to get out of the way so they could have their turn? When he said, no, is anybody waiting on you, what did he mean? Is anybody serving you? Some of you are going to go to the restaurant after church, and you're going to have somebody to serve you. What is it we used to call servers? a waitress or a waiter. If you have a waiter or a waitress, are they just sitting back there in a cubbyhole waiting for your drink to run out? No, they're serving you. They're serving this table, there. They're serving. And so when the Bible says, wait on the Lord, what am I going to do? I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do for God what God's told me to do while I'm waiting on God to show up in my life. You see, I'm just not sitting there on my hands, twiddling my thumbs, doing nothing when I'm waiting. I'm looking, I'm longing, I'm listening, and I'm living for God. That's what it means to wait on Him. And then the third aspect is, notice here the promise of released strength, renewed strength. In verse 31, but those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Notice here three areas of promise. Number one, the power to soar in times of adversity. Psalms 55:6 says, I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove and would fly away and be at rest. Do you know what our natural tendency is when we have problems? We just want to run away. But notice here, it's the wings of a dove that fly away, not the wings of an eagle. You see, the Scripture says that I'm going to soar like an eagle. I'm not going to fly away like a dove. That is, God's going to exchange His strength for my weakness, and I'm going to soar in the midst of trouble and heartache and problems. Isaiah 40:31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Notice here he mentions an eagle. I find the eagles fascinating. Did you know an eagle can fly horizontally 80 miles an hour? But if they're up here, up high, and they dive down, did you know an eagle can fly over 200 miles an hour? And phenomenal eyesight. They can look directly into the sun. They have 8 times the ability to see that humans do. They can see a rabbit 2 miles away. Eagles. We're going to soar like eagles. Reminds me of an old black preacher, and he was preaching and on this verse, and he's saying to the church, he said, church, we're crawling. We're just crawling along. But God doesn't want us to crawl. God wants us to walk. They had an amen section up there. He said, let her walk, preacher, let her walk. He said, not only does God want us to walk, God wants us to run. After we've walked a little ways, God wants us to run. They said, let her run, preacher, let her run. And then he got to really wound up and he says, but God doesn't want us to run. God wants us to fly. God wants us to soar. They said, let her soar, preacher. Let her soar. And he said, now, you know, if we're going to soar, it's going to cost some money. And they said, let her crawl, preacher. Let her crawl. Folks, I want you to know you can run, you can walk, and you can soar. And God doesn't worry about what it costs because He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He said, I will renew your strength and you will soar like an eagle. What does that mean? Proverbs 30, verse 18. There are three things which are too wonderful to me. Yes, four, which I don't understand. And notice here the first one he mentions, the way of an eagle in the air. When a storm is brewing, let me tell you what most of the birds do. They fly away from the storm and seek shelter. But you know what a golden eagle will do? A golden eagle will not fly away from the storm, and the golden eagle will fly towards the storm. Because that golden eagle has this great big broad wingspan, and it realizes as I come over there to where the storm is, that there's going to be a thermal draft. That eagle knows that if I get in that thermal draft, I can go higher and higher. And you know, an eagle can actually fly 10,000 feet above the ground. And what an eagle does is it gets in that thermal draft, and it soars higher and higher, and it flies over, it soars over the storm. Did you know that's what God wants to do in your life? He wants to renew your strength so that in the midst of the storm, you soar over the storm. You're not under the storm. That's what God wants to do in your life. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. The eagle is able to go higher and farther and faster because of the storm. Somebody's in a storm right now. And you're saying, God, you see what I'm in? God said, I see where you're in. I want to renew your strength. And I want you to soar farther and higher than you've ever gone before. And then second area, the power to run in times of opportunity. Verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall run and not be weary. Run and not be weary. Did you know God's made us so that we have these glands in our body called the adrenal glands? And when you get into a certain situation, they would dump adrenaline into your bloodstream. And when it does, there are amazing things that people can do that they could not normally do. I read about a woman, and she had a flat tire, and her 12-year-old son was trying to help change the flat, and the jack fell on him. And this 100-pound woman, when all that adrenaline kicked in, she reached down there and picked up the back end of that car so her child could get out of it. Now, could she do that normally? No, she had a burst of strength just for that opportunity. And that's what God is saying here. He says, you will run and not get weary. There's going to be some opportunities in your life. And God says, I'm going to give you a burst of strength. Some of you are aware that a couple of weeks ago I had an episode and ended up in the trauma unit where I got stung by a bee. Well, they gave me an EpiPen. I never knew this. Maybe you knew it before, but I have two EpiPens now. But you know what an EpiPen is? You know what's on the inside of it? I thought it was some kind of allergy medicine. Nope. An EpiPen is nothing but adrenaline. So you pull that thing out, pop yourself in the leg, and the adrenaline rush goes all through your body. Now, wouldn't it be neat if you and I could just go to God, open up our Bibles, and get an EpiPen? When we're in a difficult situation, we just give ourselves a shot, and we've been infused with that adrenaline. Well, God says, you will run and not grow weary. When the opportunity comes, if you wait on God, God's strength will be available. And then lastly, the power to walk in times of necessity. But those who wait on the Lord shall walk and not faint. Brother Ken, it looks like the prophet's being anticlimactic here. He starts out soaring like an eagle, and then he's running, and now he's walking. You know, from a preacher's standpoint, I think I'd have started off with a walking and then build up to the running and then end up soaring on the eagles. But God doesn't put it that way. Let me tell you why. God knows that you only need to soar every once in a while, but you need to walk every day. In other words, in the everyday mundane things of life, you need the strength of God. You need the strength of God to go on your job that you don't really like. You need the strength of God to raise up that rebellious teenager. You need the strength of God in the everyday challenges of life. My dad was an alcoholic for 20-some years. He got saved. And when he got saved, God just did a work in my dad's life. And for the last 27 years of his life, he was sober. He didn't take a drink. But let me tell you what happened to my dad. When he got saved, God didn't take the desire of alcohol away from him. Every single day from the time he was saved to the day he died, he wanted a drink of alcohol. But every day when he got up, God gave him enough strength that day to get through that day. God didn't do one big miracle for my dad. God did 9,588 little miracles, one every day for 27 years. He'll help you to walk. He'll help you to stand. The last verse here I want to share with you is from Deuteronomy 33, verse 25. As your days, so shall your strength be. God made that promise to Moses. Moses is leading the Israelites out of Egypt to Canaan. And they're in that journey for 40 years. Now let me just let you see what God's promising. As your days, so shall your strength be. He's leading out nearly 3 million slaves. Now to put that in context, Charlotte, North Carolina is about 800,000 people. So if you can imagine trying to lead out 4 cities the size of Charlotte out of slavery in the desert. You've seen the movie, The Ten Commandments? When the water is parted and they walk across 2x2, it didn't happen that way. And they walked 2x2, 3 million people have been 800 miles long. You understand when God walled up the water that they were 5,000 people abreast. 3 miles wide is how wide it had to be for all of them to cross over just during the night. Can you imagine leading a group of people like that? Can you imagine trying to feed them and give them something to drink every day? Enough water to wash the dust off their face. Enough water to wash their dishes. Someone sat down and calculated, and here's what they figured out. It would take 8 million pounds of food every day to feed them. It would take 11 million gallons of water every day to give them something to drink. Now think about it, 11 million gallons. That's 550 railroad cars of tanker trucks just for the bare necessity. And God did that every day. God did it every day for 40 years. That is, God did it 14,600 times. He brought about 8 million pounds of food. 14,600 times He brought about 11 million gallons of water. As your days, so shall your strength be. The promises of God are yes and amen. You and I will wait upon God. God will renew our strength. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. Who's here today? And you'd come and say, God, there was a time that I was stronger than I am right now. Physically or spiritually, emotionally, mentally. There was a time that I'm stronger than I am right now. And God, I need my strength renewed. Lord, I need to exchange my weakness for your strength. In a moment, will you slip out of your seat and come to this altar? And will you make that exchange with God? God, here's my weaknesses. Now, God, give me your strength. I'm wondering who's here today and you're in the midst of a storm. Or you see a storm that's right on top of you and you come today and say, God, I need strength that I might soar above. I'm wondering who's here today and you're under the storm and God's saying, come to me and be on top of the storm. I'm wondering who's here today and you're on the cusp of an opportunity and you just need a shot in the arm from God and you'd come to this altar and say, God, I just need a shot of your strength for this opportunity. Or maybe what you need is you just need help in the everyday mundane things of life. God, strengthen me to do the everyday things that you've called me to do. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the promise that if we would wait on you, that is, if we would look to you and long to you and listen to you and live for you, that God, that you would renew our strength. Heavenly Father, may we hear your invitation. May we step out in faith and trust you. And God, may we see your promises working out in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, please stand as we sing. We invite you to come.